started. We'll call the, welcome to the Center Point City Council meeting. We'll call the meeting to order for the council meeting of October 12th, 2021. Meeting will be called to order at 7:03, I think. Your roll call, please, Shannon.
Mayor Smith.
Here.
Danny Cumberledge. Ellen Stern.
Here.
Shirley Brown.
Here.
Jeff Foster.
Yep.
Maria Beckerson.
Here.
Emma Mulnick.
Here.
All right, we have a quorum. We'll move on to the first order of business is the approval of the agenda. I'll entertain a motion to adopt the October 12th, 2021 agenda.
I'll make a motion to adopt the agenda.
I have a motion by Shirley.
I'll second that.
A second by Emil. Roll call, please, Shannon.
Maria?
Yes.
Emil?
Yes.
Shirley?
Yes.
Ellen?
Yeah.
Jeff?
Yay.
All right, motion carries. Next, we'll go to the certification of election and the oath of office for the new council members. And at this time, we'd like to thank Emil for his years of service to the city of Sand Point.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. And I'll hand the floor to Shannon.
General election held October 5th, 2021, final results. CE, Marita Benderson, 170 votes. Write-ins, 5, blank, 8. For CF, Arlene Benderson, with 100 votes, 8 write-ins, and 7 blank. I, Shannon Summer, election supervisor, hereby certify that the above election results of the City of Sand Point's general election held October 5th, 2021 have been correctly tabulated.
Okay, thank you. Arlene, you come up. The oath of office.
Thanks, Sam.
Yes.
Yep. Thank you, Emil.
No problem. Thank you. Been a pleasure. Thank you. Thank you, Shirley.
Thank you, Emil.
Okay. Thank you, Jim. Mm-hmm. Marita. Okay. Okay. Ellen. Thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yes. That's fun,
Emil. Good job. Yes. Yeah. Doing great. Thank you, guys.
Mm-hmm. Take care, Emil.
Thank you.
Solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the State of Alaska
and the laws
and ordinances of the
City of Sand Point,
State of Alaska,
and that I honestly, faithfully, and impartially perform the duties of the Office of City Council, so help me God.
Welcome, Marlene. Marisa. Congratulations to you. And thank you, Shannon. Okay, we'll move on to the next item of business, which is the consent agenda. And there's one item, the consent agenda, the minutes of the regular meeting of September 14th, 2021. Has everyone had a chance to read over the minutes? And if so, I'll entertain a motion to to adopt the minutes of September 14th, 2021. Passing this.
Nothing in this book.
Yeah. And I meant to. Yes, and there are corrections. And I'll look for a motion to adopt as amended with corrections.
I'll make a motion to adopt the minutes of Tuesday, September 14th, 2021, as amended.
Motion by Arlene. We have a second?
Second.
Second by Alan. There's no further discussion. Roll call, please, Shannon.
Jack?
Yes.
Yes.
Shirley?
Yes.
Marita?
Yes.
Arlene?
Yes.
Alan?
Yes.
All right, motion carries. Okay, we'll move on to reports. And first report is Finance Officer Curtis Gunderson.
Good evening. So for August, sales tax, raw fish tax received $130,608.76. And for sales tax, we received $74,541.89.
All right. Thanks, Curtis. Any questions or comments for Curtis? Okay. Seeing none. Thank you, Curtis. So we'll move on to the next item is a report from each CEO, Paul Mueller. Are you there, Paul? Somebody came on there. Mr. Mueller, are you there? Is that you, Paul?
Oh, this is Danny Cumberledge.
Hi, Danny. We are...
Sorry, I'm a little late.
No worries. We've voted the consent agenda and sworn the new members, and we are on to reports. For Mr. Mueller, he is not here, so we'll move on to the next report, which is the administrator's report with Jordan Keeler.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Good evening, everybody. So just as a report, spend some time on personal matters. Continue to stay in touch with our lawyer regarding the outstanding lawsuit. Submitted more information to the Army Corps of Engineers for the power replacement. Spent quite a bit of time on the community development block grant application. It's a federal grant, so it's fairly lengthy. A lot of boxes to tick off. Just a lot of behind-the-scenes grunt work on that. With the mayor's consent, we put out, we got in contact with a geotechnical engineer to come out and do an inspection of the dam. They're required periodically by the state. We do own it, plus given the recent seismic activity, it's a good thing to have done, as well as necessary. Worked with the Alaska Municipal Managers Association on the upcoming AMMA schedule for this, for our portion of the larger AML meeting coming up in November. I want to thank Emil Bobek for his service to the city, both as a council member as well as your previous service with the EMS department. It's greatly appreciated, and I'd like to welcome our previous member.
All right, thanks, Jordan. Any questions or comments for Jordan?
I do. Is this the dam above the roof above the airport?
No, this is along the road by the reservoir.
Along the road by the reservoir.
Yes.
Okay. All right, thanks, Shirley. Any other questions for Jordan? All right, seeing none, we'll move on to the next item is the report from the Department of Public Safety. And here for Chief Dave Anderson is Officer Kurt Boyle.
Good evening, Mayor and Council members. Okay, for the report, we had 27 911 calls in September, and then we had 16 other calls where somebody didn't call 911. They either contacted an officer or contacted the police department to report something going on. So calls range anywhere from civil issues to open doors to traffic stops. So kind of busy. For the year, we have 227 calls for service so far. And one thing of note is ARMS is the Alaska regional reporting system. So we're using all those numbers that you see on those posters up there. So every time we get a call that's for a house or a business or a building, we put it into ARMS. That way it's tracked and it gives a record of where something's happening so that it's looked at by the Department of Public Safety throughout Alaska. So we have a tracking mechanism if another call comes out that we know where it's at. And then when we're doing our reports that are all now electronic, we can go back and see if there's been an issue at that location before. So that's been a big help with those numbers. I know they're not on the houses or anything yet, but it's in the system for our tracking purposes. So some notes from the chief. Reminder to all vehicle traffic around the harbor and four-wheelers to please slow down because there's a lot of pedestrians and equipment, and pedestrians and equipment have the right-of-way when they're in the harbor being moved around. So the people on their bikes and cars need to slow down just a little bit. Sergeant Brent Neerman has retired. He's went back home to be closer to the family and start some new endeavors. He's been here 4 years. We all wish him the best, the police department. And so, on the other hand, investigator Justin Cash has come from the task force to fill that sergeant spot. So we still have four officers on the island doing the rotation, so we're not down any officers right now. We are looking to fill that position at the task force at the airport. So we're looking for somebody that qualifies to be put in that position. And that's all I have. Any questions for me?
Thanks, Kirk.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right. Abel.
Yes. Have you already reported this to ARMS along with the state? Does that mean that it's already going through with us needing to get an ordinance taken care of to be able to adopt this?
No,
to be able to do the address system?
No, what that does, and I'm not sure how the council's working on the ordinance, but what that does for us is it creates a location that we can track. Whether it's an ordinance or not, it helps us create a record and a way to track incidents that happen so we can have accurate records. So if we're audited by the state, by the Council of Police Standards in Alaska, that's a way we can track to show that we're keeping accurate records of everything being put into the Alaska report management system. So.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Amy. Any other questions for Kurt?
Okay.
No, thanks.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, Amy. Okay, moving on to the next report is the EMS Director, Carmen Homer.
So Rescue One had 6 calls, 2 tornadoes, 4 medevacs. September was pretty mellow. We hired Marcy DaCosta as our EMS relief, and we started driver training. And we have more training set up.
All right. Thank you, Carmen. Any questions or comments for Carmen?
Yeah.
Shirley?
How many drivers are you training?
Right now, 2.
2?
2.
Okay, thanks, Shirley. Any other questions? All right, seeing none. Thank you, Carmen. Okay, we'll move on to the next report, which is the fire chief, which is a vacant spot for anyone that's interested. And so then we'll move on down to the next, which is the public works director, which will be Julius.
I'll take it.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Good evening. For September, we did some upkeep with the roads, swept and graded. We had one grave to dig. serviced and repaired some equipment, our loader and our excavator. We hauled all the excess metal from the harbor back up to the landfill from our backhaul project and tires. We worked on our Caterpillar D6 bulldozer, ordered some parts, and we still need to order some more parts. And that's about it.
All right. All right. Thanks, Julius.
Thank you.
Any questions, comments for Julius? All right. Seeing none at this time. Thank you, Julius. All right. So next we'll move on to the next report, which is Water and Sewer Supervisor Dylan Jacobson.
Thank you. The mud bay lift station was down for a day, and we had to pull the pump. There was a mop head stuck in the pump. After we removed it, the pump and lift station started working again. We broke up grease and pumped the Russian Town sewer plant and pumped the aerospace porta-potties up by the school, located some shut-off valves, and turned on and off a few houses. Changed the pump head and hose on the polymer feed pump and ordered a new spare pump head. We had to backwash twice a week for a while due to the fall time algae and vegetation dying off in the reservoir. Made the water dirtier. Did maintenance kits for the chlorine analyzer in the water plant and ordered chemical reagent kits for both of the chlorine analyzers. Cleaned flow meters and turbidometers, did our monthly water sample and monthly report to the state. Weed whacked around the school pump house and around the school sewer cleanout. The school had reported a leak in their pool and they were using more water than normal to keep it filled. And Dave and I went and checked that out up by their drain, up in the school by the gravel pit there. And it was not coming out there. It sounds like they've got that fixed now. When I was looking through water and sewer prints, trying to organize them and locate some for our dam inspection. Moved some sewer pumps with Brandon that were by lift stations to the dump. And that's about it for me.
All right. Thank you, Dylan. Any questions for Dylan?
Do you know how long the aerospace people are going to be up at the school?
No.
No idea.
Sounds like they're going to be more.
End of October? Yeah. All right, thanks, Shirley. Any other questions? Joey? Amos?
Yes, I was just wondering if you're still pursuing that COVID funds for your generator down there to make sure the water still keeps running when power goes out.
I have to talk to some people with NTHC about that, and hopefully we can figure something out.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you, Abel. Any other questions for Dylan? All right. Seeing none. Thank you. Thank you, Dylan. Okay. We'll move on to the next report, which is the harbor report with interim harbor master Alan Kuchinoff.
Hello, everybody. We've been hauling and storing boats for the winter, and we emptied the oil bins at the city shop. We are looking into the jet dock for the fire boat. We ordered a part today. Repairing street lights, we ordered the photo sensors for the street lights. Shut water off on the floats and winterized and closed the public bathrooms. Helped Public Works Director Dave Stokes with the grove a little bit, and we ordered shore power plugs and breakers. That's all I got to report.
All right, thanks. Any questions or comments for Alan? That's good. Another one we have.
No questions. Oh. So, is the harbor master job posted, or is Al going to be our new harbor master? We get this interim here, right?
Yes. In the workshop, we spoke a little bit about that. But yes, Alan has completed a couple more, has two more certificates for the harbor training in ports, harbors, and marinas, oil spills, and marine structures, which he's been working to really fully understand the job. And he has applied today, and it has been posted to for that position, and it is open for anyone to apply at this point. But we'll be trying to fill that position.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
Amy?
So he's sending his application in?
Yeah, he has applied. He's been doing
two questions. The bilge blocks, of course, has always been a question to make sure. Don't know if or what we're doing with those and how we're getting those built or anything there, and if we're running short or we need new ones.
We are looking into that.
Yeah.
The bridge was brought up at one time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for ordering wood. So I'll be looking into ordering wood for the harbor and the harbor bridge as well.
And how about the two pontoons that go on the bottom of that fireboat? Did we ever try to get down and try to locate those, or they're just gone, or?
Well, the pontoons that float the fireboat, you're
yeah.
saying? Everything's still intact. It's just the valve is broken. So one side is holding air and not letting any out when we open the valve, and the other one isn't holding air in. So if we were to leave that in the harbor, the boat would be at tilt, and it almost lands on the other boat right next to it. So.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Amy. Thanks, Alan. Any other questions for Alan? Seeing none, thanks, Alan.
All right.
Okay. So we'll move on to the, well, I guess there's a new student rep, but he's not available, so. The next report is actually a report on the remote tax remote seller sales tax presentation. And I'll hand the floor to hand the floor to Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So at last month's council meeting, staff was directed to get the Alaska Remote Sellers Sales Tax Commission, ARSSTC, to give a presentation about how the remote sales tax program has worked, you know, the background, the steps that community have taken to adopt it, and what they've seen so far in its fairly short lifespan. So that end, I invited a representative from the Alaska Municipal League, who is the liaison for communities across the state, because, you know, there is no statewide sales tax. So this has been something that's come up from the local level and administered through the Municipal League, since we can't turn to the Department of Revenue and say, hey, we want to do this program like you would in Texas or California or wherever else that has a statewide sales tax. So I believe the gentleman is on.
Yes, good evening.
Welcome. Go ahead.
Thank you. My name is Clinton Singletary. I'm the director of the Municipal Sales Tax Program with AML, and we administer the commission on behalf of the jurisdictions who have joined. And I'll kind of talk through, I believe my info is in the packet there, but I'll roll through it here fairly quickly, but feel free if you have questions, I can answer those as we go. So as a starting point, you know, what is the commission? As Jordan mentioned briefly, there is no statewide sales tax, but in 2019, I believe it was, actually 2018, there was the South Dakota versus Wayfair Supreme Court case that came out. And it opened the door for collection of local or state sales tax from online businesses. The Supreme Court gave some general guidelines on how, you know, that can occur, one of which is having a a streamlined sort of state level administration with an economic nexus threshold, which essentially draws a line in the sand to say you have to have a significant level of activity in order to be required to collect a sales tax. So the commission stepped in November 2019. It was formed by 15 municipalities across the state to sort of fill that role of being the state level entity that would collect sales tax from online businesses. And, you know, it's been streamlined that in a way to meet the Wayfair case requirements. And we've been operating now for almost 2 years. To date, we've grown to 39 communities after starting with 15. So we've had a decent amount of growth in the communities. In the packet, you'll see there's a list of communities and kind of the taxing population across the state that's represented. So basically of the 39 communities that have joined, that represents 85% of the taxed population in Alaska. So, you know, Anchorage and Fairbanks don't have a sales tax. Those are the big population centers, but we've got generally all the other big population centers that have a sales tax. And we have a number of smaller communities as well that are participating. There's more breakdowns there. So in terms of the scope, how the commission works or what it applies to, so there's a term called remote sellers. And remote sellers are really any business that doesn't have a physical presence in your jurisdiction. And so you would be collecting your local sales tax from these remote sellers who are shipping into your community. I mentioned earlier the economic threshold. We've drawn the line at 100,000 in sales or 200 individual transactions. So if a business hits either of those levels, they would have the requirement to collect your local sales tax. And I guess, too, I'll clarify that we look at that as a statewide level. So it's not that activity into your city. It's generally statewide activity. So you'll benefit from, if a company has a lot of volume into maybe two or three cities and then happens to sell into your city, you'll still be able to capture revenue on that sale. This also would apply to some Alaska businesses. You know, there's a number of businesses that cater to more remote communities, and they would also be required to participate if they hit that threshold of volume. Overall with the commission, one of our goals is obviously growing the number of cities that are participating in the commission. You know, there's a little over 100 communities across the state that have a local sales tax, and our eventual goal is to get all of them as members. You know, we believe it'll benefit the organization as a whole. We have an even higher percentage of communities participating. You know, we're always looking for increased compliance by remote sellers in terms of getting businesses registered and actually starting to collect the tax. And, you know, that's going to in turn benefit cities who are participating. It's going to increase revenues to everybody the more businesses that are registered. I've got a chart talking about the number of registered businesses. We've had decent growth over the last year. We're currently up to about 1,400 registered businesses. And, you know, we expect an end number to be, 3,000. 3,000 to 4,000 is not an unreasonable number. So we've got a decent amount of growth to go still, but it's been an exciting year seeing the program grow in general. I've also got a list of some example businesses that have registered and are collecting. So you've got your Amazon, your Apple, Target, REI. For an Alaska business, we have Spinard Builders, Bass Pro, Cabela's, eBay, Walmart. These are some of the bigger names that I pulled from the list. So we're getting good national representation by businesses. generally, you know, we try to say when there's a city that's interested, you know, we want to talk about the benefits to the city. You know, one of the benefits is going to be a benefit to local businesses. You know, with online sellers popping up, you know, businesses are having a harder time to compete. I mean, it's already a battle in terms of cost for local businesses to sell items. But with your community participating in this, they don't have to battle the sales tax avoidance strategy that, you know, has been a battle for a number of years. So that's one of the things, kind of levels the playing field a little bit more for your local businesses. In terms of a benefit to the city overall, you know, there's obviously the increased sales tax revenues. It's not something, these are not revenues that you'd be able to get outside of the commission. We don't believe that there's a local jurisdiction doesn't have the legal power to go about doing this, like a state level entity does. And, you know, one of the big questions is, well, how much revenue can we expect to get as a community? And it really varies across, you know, the 39 communities we've got. What I've seen in trends, it tends to be more remote communities tend to have a higher percentage of their local collection, and communities that are on the road system or are less remote and just have more resources in general in town, they have a lower percentage. So generally I say anywhere from 3 to 12% of the revenue you're getting from local sales you should be able to see from remote sales. I would expect a city like Sandpoint would be on the higher end of that spectrum, but really depends on a lot of variables. One of the other keys in joining the commission is we don't tell you how to do your sales tax. You know, there's certain kind of uniformity that we pursue, but you can maintain your own sales tax exemptions, you maintain your rate like you want it, and you're literally saying you want online businesses to charge your rate and exempt your exemptions. So everything else stays the same, basically. In terms of revenues, we've seen this last fiscal year, we collected $10.3 million from online businesses. Our first full year, we actually came in a little over our estimated budget. So we're currently budgeting, we're anticipating FY22 to collect in the neighborhood of $14 million. So we're still forecasting decent growth. Let's see. You know, one of the other questions I get from interested communities is, you know, how is this going to impact our residents? And first of all, the primary impact is, well, they'll be paying sales tax on more of their purchases. You know, so that obviously increases the cost of living there. For communities that are concerned about that, which is a valid concern, there are options for you to sort of tweak your tax code to dial things in a little bit. You know, a few of the options I like to tell cities is that, you know, if you're concerned about grocery costs, well, you can exempt groceries if you expect there's a significant volume of groceries that are shipped into your community. You know, if you've got most of your grocery purchases are in town already, then, you know, it may not be a big issue. Another one, I know you're a big fishing community. We've had this question come up. You know, will commercial fishing equipment be taxed? In theory, it would. But one of the workarounds could be to implement like a tax cap or an exemption specific to you know, certain types of purchases. So if you wanted to kind of protect or reduce costs to a particular industry, that's definitely something, you know, you as the council could do and modify your tax code accordingly. And then, you know, the other option too is you could tweak your sales tax rate. You know, if the additional revenues isn't as big a thing, but you're looking at sort of leveling the playing field, that might be a great solution as well. Possibly reducing your rate to kind of spread the impact a little bit more. just letting you know there's some options. If there's concerns about the increased costs, I'd be happy to go into that in more detail if that's the road you got to go down. So in terms of joining the commission, it's a fairly straightforward process. We've got, first of all, you would need to pass a resolution by the council to join the commission, and then we would work with you to adopt what we call our uniform code, which is basically the administrative rules that governs online businesses. And then once you adopt the uniform code, we give sellers 30 days notice to begin collecting your local sales tax. So I've got some charts in there about that. The last piece is there are some fees associated with this. Unfortunately, it's not free service that we offer, but currently there's three different fees made up. There's two different software fees and then the fee that the commission charges for paying for administration. And right now we're set up at 17.25% fees, and that's charged on the first $10 million that's collected over the course of the year, and that $10 million number is across all the member jurisdictions, so not just your community. We're actually getting ready to hit, when we cross the $10 million mark in an annual year, we get reduced fees, so we're actually getting ready to hit that mark this month, and we'll be able to drop the total fees down to 13%. And, you know, as we get more cities involved and more businesses registered, we'll be able to get to the reduced rates sooner in the calendar year and save your community that much more. The other piece I'll kind of point out related to the fees is that, you know, these, there's some cities that are concerned about the high percentage, and we'd love for that percentage to be lower. But in the end, it's not money coming out of your pocket. It's deducted from the revenues that we collect on your behalf. So in the end, you're left with, you know, a significant portion of revenues that you otherwise hadn't been able to collect. And that's really it at this point. I've got some contact information for AML, people who can discuss this further with you, but I'm open to any questions you might have.
Thank you, Clinton. Anybody have any questions for Clinton?
Clinton, this is Jordan. Have you noticed, I know it kind of coincides with the, you know, work from home, COVID scenario we find ourselves in. Do you think that the people working from home and maybe having more chance to, say, look at Amazon or Bass Pro, do you think that's a driving force behind the increase in remote sales tax revenue?
I mean, that's a good question. That's something we battle with when looking at our projections. You know, how much of our growth is COVID related? The one point I usually go back to, and it makes sense to me at least, is that across Alaska, generally, you don't have a lot of even before COVID, there was a lot of online shopping that was done out of necessity because there's limited access to things, you know, locally. And I feel like in a lot of ways the COVID impact is much more of a, I don't know, lost my train of thought there, but I don't feel like COVID is really inflating the numbers. We, you know, might see a little bit of leveling out, but my belief is that generally it's just people are buying online in Alaska because that's the option, you know. COVID might make that a little bit worse, but I don't picture a big drop when COVID goes away or people go back to working in person.
All right, thank you.
I have a question. This is Shirley Brown. I'm a council member. And I see a lot of shipments from businesses in Anchorage coming to the bush. Like, it's not Walmart.com, but it's Walmart in Anchorage or Fairbanks, where people call in orders for groceries or supplies. And Fred Meyer's is another big one where you can go online, and it's coming straight out of Anchorage to our city because it costs so much here to go to our local store to buy groceries and supplies that they'd rather order from these companies in Anchorage. It's cheaper even with shipping. Are they on your list of statewide businesses?
Yeah, so we do have Walmart is collecting. There seems to be a connect between if you call up the local store or, you know, versus ordering from Walmart online. And I don't know for sure if the shipments from the local stores are being taxed currently. Fred Meyer's, that's not happening right now. We haven't gotten them on board. But, I mean, in theory, that should be taxable, assuming we can get the right person connected and getting that turned on.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Shannon? Danny, do you have any questions?
No, I don't have any.
Okay. But let's say someone ordered $100, it's an even number, worth of food from one of those vendors, what would be the additional cost to their product on that shipment without shipping? But would it be $4?
Yes, it would be, I'm not sure what your tax rate is, but it would be whatever your local tax rate is that sellers should be required to charge that and collect it.
Okay. That's okay. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing none, thank you for explaining some of that.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Okay. Anything else, Jordan? No? Okay. Okay, we'll be moving on then.
Can I ask Curtis a question?
Sure.
So, Curtis, do you ever receive any sales tax from Amazon?
You do receive sales tax from Amazon.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Ron Curtis, sorry.
We had a question to where the city, Amazon's already paying that amount, correct, to cities throughout, well, I think, is that everywhere? Clinton?
Clinton. Yeah, so I can speak to that. So Amazon has two parts to its sort of business model. You have sales that Amazon makes directly of its own merchandise, and then it operates a marketplace of third-party sellers. And so Amazon currently, for its own direct sales, it's already paying that to cities directly. Participating with the commission would allow you to get sales tax from the marketplace third-party sales as well. And that would come through the commission. And estimates that we've seen is that the marketplace is anywhere, you know, roughly, it represents about half the total volume that Amazon sells in general through their website. So I generally tell cities that you can expect fairly equivalent revenues from the marketplace that you're currently seeing from Amazon directly.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, thanks a lot. Okay, if there's no other questions, comments. All right, thanks a lot. Okay. We'll move on to the next item of business is the hearings, ordinances, and resolutions. And the first is Ordinance 2021-04, amending compensation of council members for the second reading. Do we have a motion to put Ordinance 2021-04, amending compensation of council members as amended, for correction, on the floor for a second reading?
I'll make the motion.
Motion by Marita. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Arlene. I'll hand the floor to Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So this is a set, this ordinance allows the city council to meet in a special meeting. Special meetings generally focused on a single item, be it a time-sensitive resolution needed for a specific issue or for a grant application. It allows city council to meet on personal matters subject to city council action. So this, you know, I think we've had one special meeting in the past 3.5 years, and that was at the beginning of the COVID outbreak. So this would, you know, it's not a frequently implemented tool, but it does give flexibility to hold a meeting, you know, with appropriate notice to address a single issue that is time sensitive. They can't wait until the following regular meeting. And given that, you know, it is, we're asking for council members' time, you know, on the issue, there's a proposed fee of $100. So it's less than the regular meeting fee, but it's also for a less action, less time, less research on, you know, council's end. So what this would do would go to then chapter 2.20050, the section that reads compensation council members. So it just adds in the stipend for the special meeting. It does not change compensation for the regular meeting.
Thanks, Jordan. Any questions or comments for Jordan? Abel?
Yes, would that also cover the phone polls that we've had before to be able to pass special things across if we all couldn't meet, but the special business needed to be taken care of? Would that also be included in that $100?
No, this is for meetings that are public, so you need a public notice to have a meeting like this. A phone poll is an informal, just temperature gauge, whereas this results in a reportable action, like a resolution or a personnel decision.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks, Bill. Any other questions for Jordan? All right, thanks. Seeing none, move on. Do we have a motion to adopt Ordinance 2021-04, amending compensation of council members?
We didn't have a roll call on the motion to put it on the floor. Do we need a roll call to put it on the floor?
Oh, sorry. Exactly.
Before we adopt.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, sir. Okay. We get a roll call?
Marita?
Yes.
Arlene?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes.
Ellen?
Yes.
Yeah.
Shirley?
Yes.
All right, motion passes. Okay. All right, at this time, do we have a motion to adopt Ordinance 2021-04, amending compensation of council members?
Make a motion to adopt.
Motion by Shirley?
Ordinance 2021-04.
As amended. Yes.
As amended.
Motion by Shirley.
Second.
Second by Arlene. Okay. Thank you. Roll call.
On the Shirley? Question.
Yes.
Arlene?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes.
Marita?
Yes.
Ellen?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. All right. Motion carries. Okay, we'll move on to the next item of business. It's Ordinance 2021-05, amending compensation of mayor for the second reading. Do we have a motion to put ordinance 2021-05, amending compensation of mayor, on the floor for the second reading?
I'll move ordinance 2021-05 to the floor.
We have a motion by Jack.
I'll second.
I have a second by Marita. And the floor to Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So this is a bit of...
Roll call. Roll call, please. Shannon.
Jack?
Yep.
Arlene?
Yes.
Marita?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes.
Alan?
Yes.
Shirt?
Yes.
All right, motion carries. At this time, I'll hand the floor to Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So this ordinance has been a cleanup ordinance. Currently the mayor's salary is $36,000 per year and has been for quite a few years. But code states that the salary is to be $24,000 per year or unless otherwise provided during the annual budget process. You know, as you're aware, council is the one that sets budget. So this ordinance just it establishes it aligns the current code with the current practice. Doesn't guarantee that the salary for the mayor's position will be $36,000 per year, because again, it's subject to appropriations part of the budgeting process the council determines. But you know, we just want to be as transparent as possible and not have people's, you know, somebody looks at the code and says, well, it says it should be 24. We want to say, well, it's 36, subject to approval. So this just updates the salary to reflect what's been approved recently in past budgets.
Good. Thanks, Jordan. Any questions or comments for Jordan? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on. Do we have a motion to adopt 2021-05, amending compensation of mayor?
I'll make a motion to adopt 2021-05.
We have a motion by Shirley.
I'll second.
A second by Jack. Roll call, please, Shannon.
Alan?
Yeah.
Marita?
Yes.
Jack?
Yep.
Shirley?
Yes.
Arlene?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes.
Just one roll call, because you're not going to die. You're just putting it on the floor. You need a roll call to put it on the floor after you get the motion. Okay,
all right. Motion passes. Carries, rather. So, okay. Thank you. We'll move on to the next item of business is ordinance 2021-06, amending upland storage fees, on the floor for the first reading. We have a motion to put ordinance 2021-06, amending upland storage fees, on the floor for the first reading.
I'll make a motion. Put it on the floor, first reading.
Motion by Marita.
Second.
Arlene. Roll call, please.
Danny?
Yes.
Marita?
Yes.
Jack?
Yep.
Shirley?
Yes.
Alan?
Yeah.
Arlene?
Yes.
Jordan.
Again, thank you, Mr. Mayor. So this is a cleanup ordinance. We believe that typo or conversion from from paper copy to digital copy took place probably in 2011 when the city revised its harbor ordinance as part of the inner harbor improvements, or rehab, if you will. So if you look at the code, the way it's written now, it says you know, the same as mortgage facilities used to be. However, a boat assigned to a reserved mooring space shall be charged the haul-out. Area storage fee shall be 50% of the mortgage facility fee. That doesn't really make any sense. So we went back and found a pre-2011 copy of code. And, you know, as you see, it should have read, and again, I don't know how this was garbled. It should say, the same as mortgage facilities use fees, except that a boat assigned to a reserved mooring space shall be charged 50% of the mortgage facility fee, provided that a mortgage facility is paid. So basically what this says is that if you have a reserved stall and you have your boat hauled out and put in the uplands, that fee to store in the uplands will be half of your slip fee. So no rates will change. This is not a rate increase or decrease. It's just clarifying the language. It was discovered last month when the interim harbor master was going through looking at the various prices. So we're just trying to clarify things for both staff as well as harbor users.
So in the past, have boats been charged the full rate instead of the 50% rate?
No, they've been charged 50% rate. This question came up because if you read the incorrect language, it makes no sense.
Thanks, Jordan. Any other questions for Jordan? All right, seeing none at this time. So we do not need another motion on this one, right? I got my notes messed up on that. To redo them. So we'll move on to the next item of business. Is resolution 2109, a CDBG application. So do we have a motion to adopt 2109 community development block grant application?
We need to get it explained first.
Okay. On the floor to join us.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So every year the state of Alaska has what's called a Community Development Block Grant, or CDBG. It's federal funds. They're passed through, administered by the state. There's certain target areas of the CDBG. There's a couple requirements. One is to hold a public hearing, which we'll do once it's brought to the floor. Offer the chance for public input as part of the public hearing. Make sure the city meets the low to moderate income requirements, which it does. Explain the need for the project and how the city came to support the project. All communities in the state, except Anchorage, as long as they meet the eligibility criteria, are eligible to apply. There's about $2.3 or $2.8 million. Each award is capped at $850,000, and each award requires a 25% cash contribution from the community. Boroughs are eligible, tribes are eligible, I believe, and cities are eligible. So, talking about the public participation process, we have posted a notice of intent to apply in the standard places for the city notices, material, city hall, post office, harbor, bulletin board, at the AC store. And to date, we have not had any input from the community. No emails, no phones, calls, no faxes, no letters, no other face-to-face communication. So to date, we haven't received anything. So one of the focus areas of the CDBG is solid waste and the impacts it could have on the community. So looking around at community needs, for the inner harbor floats in the new harbor, this is not going to get us nearly the finish line. All the planning's done, so it's just a matter of funding for actual construction. So this wouldn't be an eligible, it wouldn't be an eligible project. It doesn't cover vehicles other than fire trucks. you know, they can do special economic development, but that's beyond my capability, frankly. It's a very nuanced and involved process. You know, it can go to infrastructure, you know, roads that, you know, it's more geared towards new development versus, you know, rehab or you can do redevelopment, but you just get into the weeds. So, you know, looking around, you know, we know that the incinerator has nearing its effective lifespan. You know, the safe disposal of solid waste is a community-wide priority. It impacts all, you know, it's a community-wide issue. You know, it does benefit low- and moderate-income people as well as, you know, moderate-income and above. It is a service that the city does provide and should provide. And, you know, by having the ability to incinerate waste with an air curtain burner or incinerator, what have you, you know, helps to lowers costs to the community because instead of having to constantly, you know, dig holes, bury waste, it's just cheaper to burn. It saves on landfill space, extends the life of the landfill. It's a fairly cheap way to operate, so you keep your operational costs low as well. So there's a lot of benefits, you know, by having the ability to burn this and to haul off waste and, you know, keep our rates low. It does incentivize people to maybe take waste disposal in their own hands. Because, you know, if you can't afford your waste disposal fee, then, you know, as soon as it's dark out, drive up the road. So that's, you know, having talked to Public Works about it, you know, this was a, you know, project that needs to be addressed. So this is the reason that staff is suggesting that this city apply this CDBG.
So is this the public hearing tonight?
Mm-hmm.
Are we having the... Is this it?
Yes.
Okay.
Wow. All right. Thanks, sir. Any other questions or comments for Jordan?
Just elaborate, you know, there's also user planning. So if your community doesn't have a master plan or you want to just do some long-term planning for, like, say, a water and sewer project, it's, you know, economic development as well as, you know, regular development. You know, those are the three very broad categories, and then there's subsections each one. You know, the city, you know, having done the preliminary, you know, draft of the grant, you know, we do site control. You know, we have budgets, we have audits, you know, our audits. If you're first class, if you're second class, it's certified financial statement or something. It's a less intensive thing. So there's, you know, checklists when you apply, you know, non-discrimination, you know, our taxes, the workers' comp, the insurance, and all that. So it's a fairly broad list of requirements to meet. Having gone through it a few times, you know, the city does meet it. You know, just because we apply, there's no guarantee that it'll be funded. You know, it's a statewide competition. But just, you know, given that some communities ask for the whole $850,000, you know, we're asking for a much more modest amount. And we have, also, we have the financial ability. So this is on a reimbursable basis. So they don't just hand you the $160,000. The city itself has to purchase any equipment and then float that until it's on-site and operational. So in comparison to some competitors in this, I think that bodes well for the city.
And then we had a big discussion last month about the incinerator being
right,
needing to be replaced. So this is what we need, okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Shirley. Thank you, Jordan. Any other comments or questions? If not, we'll move on. Do we have a motion to adopt Resolution 2021, the CDBG application?
I'll make a motion to adopt Resolution 21-09.
We have a motion by Marita. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
And a second by Shirley. And at this time, we will open the floor for public comments.
Do we ever have public comment on this? Hardly.
I'd say no. It's posted, so. Okay, hearing no comments at this time, we'll move on to roll call. Michelle.
Jack?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes.
Marita?
Yes.
Alan?
Yes.
Arlene?
Yes.
Shirley?
Yes.
All right, motion carries. Okay. That. So we'll move on to the next item of business, which is old business and a discussion on mandate. Does anyone have any comments on COVID or the mandate? Seeing none, we'll move on to the next item, which is new business, and on to a donation request from the Area M Singers Association. And earlier, Danny, did you want to make any comments? Are you part of that association? Heather was on earlier and explained that it's a large group.
Yeah, I'm the vice president of the Singers Association, but I guess I'd just like to reiterate what Heather said about, you know, we got a lot of battles coming up with some chicken neck issues and some RCAs that are going to get us shut down and stuff. And I just like to say that, you know, the Saners Association is not just for Saners. It's anybody can join, bet matters, whoever wants to join it. It was just implemented as a Saners Association, and there's no SetNet Association, I don't believe. So a couple of years ago, we allowed everybody to join. We just kept the name as the same. We worked at the last Board of Fish meeting for KEMP, which is the Grippers Association, and SEMP and Area M. We're a nonprofit. We're just... we're going to look for a battle here in the next week, probably, if things get passed. We're just trying to stay proactive, and we're just funding from all the fish companies, boroughs and tribes and stuff. So I think it's a thing the city should put into it. I think we got the funds for it, and I think it's probably a good investment in our future.
All right. Thanks, Danny. I'm not sure how the city, I know the city and the borough put up, I think that's who actually, is that where the money came from for sending people to the meetings before? I'm not real certain how that, who financed what there, but are there any questions or comments at this time? Emil?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor, Council. This is a big deal of going to Board of Fish this year or next year. It would be a great deal to, you know, see us donate to this cause, but the only question I have is that we're going to leave, you know, I know the Saners is just the name on there, but I want to make sure that the SetNetters and the Drifters are also involved. Because we got all gear types here, and that I want to make sure that everyone's going to be accounted for in the money that, you know, gets distributed to this. And yeah, it's going to be a hard-fought battle, and we're up, you know, a year already under the gun. They're ready after us. So, you know, I'd like to see this happen, but I don't want to leave any gear group out. And knowing that, yeah, they're, you know, their name is Saners, I just want to make sure that SetNetters and Drifters are also involved.
Okay.
And I'll speak to that. Everybody who wants to join and wants to become a member of the association can, and then that allows them to speak at our forum and our meetings and have a say in what goes on along with it. And we all work together as set netters, drifters, and everything. The last meeting, and I think that we're on a different page now, but everybody's allowed to join. Whoever wants to sign up and put money up is allowed to, and is allowed to have a voice at meetings just like this. So it's up to the people that want to join, to want to be involved. So I mean, everybody's free to join.
Thank you, Danny. Go ahead, Emil.
What is the membership fee for that?
I believe for the Saners it's $1,000, and I think that we were on with the set netters were a little less. I think you'd have to check with Heather. I can't remember what it was for the gill netter. I think it might have been $500, but I wouldn't quote me on that.
All right, thank you.
All right, thanks, Danny. This request is for $5,000. So, and as far as the city was concerned, we were hoping, we were making sure we cover everybody's views as it's community money, I guess. But any other comments?
So we have an advisory committee here who pays their fees to travel to the meeting. Anybody in the state?
A couple of them, I think, of the state. Maybe only one of them now. They've cut way back. I think it used to be the chair and the...
I'll have to ask the chair.
Yeah.
PJ.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Does the borough normally...
So they just had a meeting there on the 5th. Did you go to
it? No, I did not. I didn't know there was one. But
It was here, right?
Yeah.
And I'd just like to say that this money is for some of the lawyer fees and some of the lobbyists and stuff that we need to hire to fight this kind of stuff. It's not just for travel for people to the meeting, that we have lawyers hired, you know, we have lawyers and stuff hired that are in there, and that's what everybody pays their fees into. It's not just for travel for people to testify. It's for things like that.
Okay, thanks, Betty. So, any other questions, comments? Jordan?
Yeah, so I know last board cycle, the city did contribute quite a bit of money to the overall project, not to one specific group, but just, you know, help to pay for the, you know, lawyer and room rental fees, staff support. So is there going to be a joint effort similar this upcoming cycle as to the last cycle?
Yes, I believe so. That's what we're all trying for. I mean, we're working with Kemp and with the Mark Schlonem and all the lawyers and stuff. We're all working with the same group and stuff that we have, so we're trying to keep that on track.
Okay, thanks, Jordan. Thanks, Danny. Okay. Any other questions or comments? We move forward to a vote then. I guess so. So I'll entertain a motion to accept the donation for $5,000 from the Perry M. Saners Association. Do we have a motion?
How do we stand with donations? Are we budgeted for? We wanted to do this as a yearly thing ahead of time, right?
Every 6 months.
One a year. Oh, one every 6 months.
Yeah, just things like this pop up or just.
And the revenues from our aiming, do they look like they can handle this?
Yes. I would believe this would be a lot of expense. It's a fairly broad definition of community use.
Well, our community is based on fishing.
Oh, right.
You know. So this is important. I believe this is important. And hopefully these people will represent everyone. So, if nobody's against it, I'll make a motion to donate $5,000 to the Area of Seniors Association.
Okay, we have a motion by Shirley. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Second by Marita.
Can I make a comment?
Sure,
Can we encourage the group, I guess, to reach out to more of the set vendors and other groups, I guess, just so they're aware of what's going on, I guess. Just encourage it.
To where they feel included in
yes.
the city's money?
Okay. Just encourage.
Okay. Thanks, Marita. So we have a motion by Shirley and a second by Marita. I guess we'll move on to the roll call. Roll call, please, Shannon.
Danny?
Yes.
Maria?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Shirley?
Yes.
Alan?
Yes.
Arlene.
Can I make a comment first before I vote?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I do like this, you know, I appreciate that they're doing this work. It's important work for the Board of Fish. I'd like to see the city cover the overall project like they've done in the past and not just for a specific group, even though it says that they are going to cover all the groups. So at this time, I'm going to say no.
All right, thanks, Darlene. All right, we have 5 yeas and 1 no. Motion carries. Okay, move on to the next item on new business is the upcoming events, AML and Pacific Marine Expo. We discuss like, who wants to go, or do we move on to?
Well, we should tag you. Oh, we sign up. So
myself and Curtis signed up for the Clerks Conference and the Government Finance Officers Association. And we have 2 guys.
And then I'll be with Council's approval. I'll be signing up for the Alaska Municipal Managers Association as well. So just for reference, this year it's kind of flips. Usually, the broader AML is the first group. It's the second 2.5 days. Usually, the sub you know the clerks and mayors and finance usually is first. This year's reversed. So AML starts a couple of things the evening of the 14th, which is Sunday, and then 15th, 16th, and half of the 17th. The business, the larger AML business meetings the 17th, and then each subgroup starts that afternoon, the 17th, and runs generally through the 19th or 20th.
Okay. So, I believe I'll be going also. And as far as the new members, I know they're that early from the 9th and 10th. Is there anything for them to do?
The new members is virtual. It's November 9th and 10th, and I would be interested in attending the virtual and the AML.
Mm-hmm.
interest in it. Not at this time. Okay. I think that covers all that. All right. We're going to have to call tomorrow for somebody to take care of that, right? We'll get back to everybody. Then. Go ahead, Shannon. Four. Mm-hmm. Arlene showed interest, I believe. Does anyone else have any interest to go to AML? Jack? Danny? Alan?
Oh, come on, someone's got to show me the ropes.
Not at this time?
You'll have the mayor and Jordan out there.
Yeah, okay. Definitely could be all new for us. Yeah. So, okay. Well, we'll keep in touch and try to make, we got to get the reservations in, is the idea, so. Okay.
I can't go anywhere.
And the Marine Expo, we weren't doing that, right? The borough's not going. We had no interest to do that on our own.
Correct, yeah. The borough has opted not to purchase booth space this year.
Mm-hmm.
Traditionally, they have done so. They've included passes for any staff from the constituent communities to go. But given what's going on in Seattle and the fact that the borough won't have a presence, you know, we certainly wouldn't deter any, you know, fight from going, but it's not going to be sponsored by the city.
Right. Okay. Thanks, Jordan. Okay. Covers that. We'll move on. Oh, sorry, Shannon, go ahead. Danny, did you want to go to AML?
What were the dates?
It was the week of November, I think it starts 14th or 15th through...
Beginning of the 14th.
14th through that Friday, which is the 19th, I believe.
I might be. Can I get back to you on that tomorrow or the next day or something?
Sure. Yeah, it'll take us a bit to get that reservation set up. So, okay, thanks.
Okay.
Yeah, I think if you sign up after the 15th, I think it's a little bit more expensive. So.
Okay, thanks. All right, if there's no other comments, we'll move on to our next item, which is public comments. Any public comments at this time? Abel?
Yes, I want to thank you, Mayor Smith, City Council, for the wonderful 6 years that I've had on the council here, and you know, it's been a good time. Just got to move on to other things, and I want to congratulate Arlene and Marita for getting elected this year, and over the next 3 years does well for you guys that you signed up for. And just to remember, I've always been an advocate for making sure that our employees are well taken care of. So I just don't want that to let, you know, go on the wayside. And, they do the work for the city. And it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. No other public comments. We'll move on, which we have an executive session at this time, so we'll be going off the air. Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
Do we have to change our number? We have a motion to go into executive session concerning legal.
Make a motion to go into executive session to discuss legal.
A motion by Arlene. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a second by Alan at about 8:27, I believe.